culture eats strategy for breakfast. And we have five cultural values as a church family that we're wanting to just sow into the next few weeks by teaching. And I absolutely love these five cultural values. I love, 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 love them. In fact, the first time I heard them, I was a visiting speaker at the King's Arms Leadership Weekends. And I remember Simon handing out the bit of paper. It was still in draft form. And I looked at it and I thought, this is absolutely brilliant. And I nicked as many copies as I could. And I took them home to my then home church in Newcastle and gave them out to as many people as I could. I love these cultural values. Here they are, just as a reminder. Honor. Give respect. Be ready to learn. Live with gratitude. It'd be great if people encountered that when they encounter you and me. Generosity, to welcome, sacrifice, and serve with excellence. Acceptance, to demonstrate kindness, patience, and forgiveness to all. Authenticity, shine with truth, integrity, and purity. And courage, live with risk-taking faith, creativity, and freedom to make mistakes. Don't you love those? And so we're taking a few weeks to look at how do we land these cultural values in all sorts of different practical areas of our life. And this morning, had we had time, we would have looked at culture and how it affects our leadership. How it affects our leadership. One man once said this, that you should all consider yourselves leaders. And you may be sitting here and think, well, I'm not a leader. Well, I would actually challenge you on that. Say, actually, God has called all of us to lead. He's given you all responsibility to lead and influence in some way, shape, or form. It might be to lead your family. It might be to lead and influence your neighborhood or your workplace or your business or the place where you attend school or a place of education, the place where you work, your work colleagues, your church, the areas in which you serve. It might be if you have a bedroom. God's called you to lead your bedroom and keep it tidy. I don't know why I'm looking over here. Maybe I should look over here. Sorry. But God has given us all the capacity to influence and lead something or somebody. Different ones of us have different measures of leadership, different spheres of leadership. But God actually has called us all to take a step forward and lead with these cultural values wherever we find ourselves. And Paul, when he's writing to one leader, Timothy, he says this. He says, Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. What's he saying? He's saying, actually, the stakes for leaders are very high. You and I must pay attention to the culture that we demonstrate in our lives as leaders, because if we do, if we persevere in them, we will save both ourselves and our hearers. In other words, leaders are those who have the capacity to influence and transform other people's lives when they pay attention to the kind of culture that exists in their hearts. And one point that I want us to look at, very much in keeping with what God has already been doing here this morning, and it's under this heading of honor. And here is a question for us. Leadership question number one. Am I honoring my personal life with Jesus above all other concerns in my life? Leadership question number one is this. Am I honoring Jesus above every other concern in my life? Do you know, if you're a leader, you have the capacity to lead in four directions in your life. Number one, perhaps most obviously, you can lead down, which means that you can lead those who maybe work for you, maybe you oversee, maybe who are in a team with you. You can lead those who are under you, under your responsibility. You can lead down. But also, you have the capacity to lead across, which means that you can lead and influence your peers. You can lead your friends, you can lead your work colleagues, those who work on a similar level. So you have the capacity to influence and lead them. But you can also lead vertically. Do you know you have the capacity to influence your boss? You have the capacity to influence your manager, you have the capacity to influence your teacher. You actually have the capacity to shape how decisions are made by leading up. But there is a fourth way that you can lead, and it's this. You also have the capacity to lead in. And that is probably the biggest leadership challenge that you and I will consistently face, is the challenge to lead yourself. Do you know the person who's been most challenging and difficult and frustrating in my life to lead? Me. I am my biggest leadership frustration. I'm the one who gives myself the biggest headaches in my sphere of influence. It's myself. And I don't know if you recognize that in yourself, that sometimes it's your own issues that present the biggest leadership challenge, that I have to find a way of leading myself well. And the truth is, that issues in my life, battles against apathy and self-pity and laziness and fears of failure and fear of disapproval, all these things that I find bubbling up in my heart are things that I have to find a way to lead myself in. And the truth is, no one else can do that job for me. I have to learn how to lead myself. And if you want to learn to be a leader who honors others in the way that Jesus does, you have first got to learn to honor Jesus in the number one seat of your life and affections. You've got to learn to lead yourself to honor him. You've got to learn to lead inwards. And Christian leaders should be, I think, a little bit like icebergs. And I don't mean that they should be cold, deadly, and threatening. What I mean is that there should always be more under the surface of your life than above it. If that is inverted in any way, if your public persona is bigger than what exists under the surface of your life, you have a big problem. You're actually called to be much deeper in private when no one else is looking than ever you are when people's eyes are upon you. And actually, in the kingdom of God, the very qualification for leading is this, is that your private life is one of integrity and passion for Jesus. And you know when a culture is stuck, when it happens when no one else is looking. When you honor people when no one else is around to see, you know that culture has taken root in your heart. When you're generous, when there's no one else to applaud you, and you do it in secret, then you know that culture has really gripped your heart. Who you are is who you are when no one else is looking. Robert Murray McShane said this, "What a man is before God on his knees, that he is, and nothing more." Feel the Holy Spirit behind that. What a man is before his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. What is he saying? He's saying the only thing that you and I have to bring to the table as a leader is that we fed upon from the private fellowship we have with Jesus. That's all I have to bring to the table, is what I receive from him in private as a man who stands before God. And that's why, for example, in the New Testament, when Scripture is talking about eldership and those called to serve as elders, actually the first test of eldership is, how do these guys lead at home? How do they lead with their families? How do they lead their children? How do they lead their wives? What's their prayer life like at home? That's the qualification, actually. And if you can't get it right there, then you're not going to get it right here. The qualification is my private life. Do I honor Jesus when no one else is looking? That's why Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. Here's the question. What are we storing up within us that we can then bring out in our leadership to others? We should aim to be icebergs. Here's what a few other men and women have said about prayer. Andrew Bonar said this, "Oh brother, pray. In spite of Satan, pray. Spend hours in prayer. Rather neglect friends than not pray. Rather fast and lose breakfast, dinner, tea, and supper, and sleep too, than not pray. We must not talk about prayer. We must pray in right earnest, for the Lord is near." Corrie ten Boom said this, "Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it." Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. Ian Bounds said this, "Talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still." Martin Luther said this, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness." Ooh, you can put that in your fridge. Ooh, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. And I tell you, leaders in the kingdom, whether you lead in the marketplace, in a business, in arts, in education, in your sphere of influence, wherever you lead, I tell you, what we have to bring to the table is what we fed on in the private place of fellowship with Jesus, where we've learned to honor him above all other things. Spurgeon said this, if you ever find a really praying man, trust him with untold gold. Do you know what I look for when I look for a leader? I want evidence that you've got a secret life with Jesus. Because I tell you, I trust you more when I know that. That's exactly what Spurgeon is saying. If you find a praying man, trust him with untold gold. He said, you never need to fear a praying man. Why? Because you know that there is another source of wisdom in that man's life. There is another source. There is another source of life in that man's life. He's not just relying on his natural leadership persona and gift. There's another stream at work. You can trust such a man with untold gold. And I think for some of us, the challenge is this. Is that you have a natural leadership gift that was given to you by Jesus. You naturally influence people where you are. Wherever you go, you find people attracted magnetically to you. The challenge is this. Some of you have a high leadership gift, but you have small spiritual maturity. And that is the challenge for 2012. Is actually we realize what pays the most is we must invest in the storehouse of our life when no one else is looking. If I'm to honor other people, I must learn to honor Jesus above all other people in my life.